This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
And we are coming to you absolutely live from the Victorian Pride Centre on this beautiful Saturday in Melbourne. I hope the weather is good where you are. We're streaming online at joy.org.au and on the Joy app. And of course on podcast. This is Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9's longest running news and current affairs show since 1996. We proudly bring you this February 11, 2023 edition of Saturday Magazine in what should be the year of the voice. I'm Macca, Paul's on panel. My co-host is Joe Ball. James is doing program support on the front desk, and our fantastic podcaster James is actually going into another studio because he's actually preparing another couple of episodes of his new show, Spoken Word. It's 23 degrees. It's going to be a top of 30. Let's get on with it, Joe.
Good morning, Macca. And I just want to tell everyone that we are coming today from the Victorian Pride Centre, which is, for those who don't know, located on the lands of the Yalut Willun clan of the Bunurong people in the Kulin Nation. And we'd like to pay our respects to elders past and present and acknowledge that sovereignty was never ceded. Good morning.
Good morning. And I want to ask Joe, how do you think the debate, the discussion is going on The Voice? Do you think, what does your gut feel tell you if the referendum was held tomorrow, what do you think the result would be?
I think there's absolutely a reason why the referendum would not be held tomorrow. And that's because we're not ready yet, because the conversation is still taking place.
Yep.
Some people might know there is still a consultation going on with Aboriginal people as part of like how it's going to be worded, and you know that's being led by Linda Burney and others. And so there's really important conversations still happening. So I think if it happened right now, people would not be in a position to make a decision. Yep. But I think that being said, a lot of people are getting on board with the idea, and that's what's most important. So people are wanting to understand, you know, some political wonks want to understand how it fits in with the Constitution, that kind of thing. But I am seeing this emergence of people saying, in my heart, which is what Aboriginal people asked us in the Uluru Statement, in my heart, you know, I'm on board. And I think, you know, that's we can relate to that, can't we, for marriage equality that
exactly.
People say. People said to us, what will the flow-on consequences be? What will this mean? And in the end of the day, it has to come down to, are you in support of the Uluru Statement and this generous hand that Aboriginal people have extended to us? Because that's what this is, the Uluru Statement. It's a generous handout to us to say, here's a way forward. And I think that's really important to remember, that the voice is not one thing. It is one recommendation in an overall statement and, if you like, a plan of action. So the voice is one step, and I think that it's important that people think, not be caught up in what I think is some of the people are deliberately trying to create some confusion and saying, I need more details, i.e. Peter Dutton.
And there isn't a lack of detail out there.
That's correct.
You know, you have to go looking. I don't know about encouraged is the right word, but the opposition and the government have been having a discussion, and now there's agreement that there will be a pamphlet that will go to people before the referendum vote happens. And I think that's a good initiative. I have no idea what's going to be in it, and, you know, who will write the yes case and who will write the no case, and how they're going to agree, you know, the government, the opposition, Indigenous organisations, how they're going to agree. I'm glad I won't be chairing that meeting. But I'm encouraged by that. I think I have perhaps sometimes a misguided faith in the innate goodness of the Australian people. And I think marriage equality proved that. 1967 proved that. So I feel confident about it, but I'm also a little scared that the no voice, is getting a bit of traction, and that people, when they're not sure about something, Joe, you know, if you have to make a decision about something and you're not sure, you almost always fall on the no side.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm concerned about that, and the fact that it needs to be, of our 8 states and territories, it needs to be 5 of a majority of the votes in those states and territories. Now, that's a big mountain to climb, but let's hope that the right people have got their climbing boots on.
Look, we do have, I think the winning a constitutional, a referendum, is very difficult.
Yes.
And I can't remember the exact numbers, but very few have been won.
Mm.
And, of course, people in their living memory will remember that we lost the Republican debate. And that was another thing, I guess, there was a similarity in the sense that there was a no vote that called for it's too soon, or it's confusing, or it's badly written. You know, they use these kind of arguments. So you sort of see that is a general tactic of people who want to turn down a constitutional referendum, is they do use this tactic of it's confusing, you haven't got it quite right. And that can be quite successful.
Mm.
And so I think that's a good thing for people to keep in mind, is that they're employing a political tactic to get a no vote, and people should be sceptical of that and go back. And I just encourage people to go back to the Uluru Statement and the goodwill under which the Uluru Statement was written by Aboriginal Australians. Now, of course, not all Aboriginal people agree, but the Uluru Statement is the closest we've ever had in this country to consensus around a way forward that is driven by Aboriginal Australians.
And, you know, I do think people need to think back. It's 55 years since that 1967 referendum, which was, and I can't remember, it was very, very high in favour. And, you know, 55 years is a long time. That's 2 or sometimes 3 generations of people. We need to remember and acknowledge what Australians did then and what we need to do now. Everyone is entitled to an opinion, but, you know, reality is, if you believe in equality and you believe everyone should be treated equal and people should be acknowledged for who they are and where they've come from and where they are now, then we need a voice. You know, we need the referendum to pass and we need a voice. Just quickly, our guests coming up today, because we're going to be speaking in a moment with Jill Stark. Jill's written a new book called High Sobriety. I love the title. It's fantastic. The Better Together conference is taking place. I think it's in Adelaide this year. Jason Twarzon McShane will be joining us to talk about that. Then Senator Andrew Bragg from the Federal Opposition. We're going to talk to him about the voice, but also I want to ask him, how do the numbers now sit in the Senate? It's a different ball game altogether. The government previously needed the Greens and 1 crossbencher. They now need the Greens and 2 crossbenchers.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there'll be a bit of horse trading going on there. It'll be a bit like, you know, the annual horse sales. Then we're going to speak with Tanya Plibersek, Federal Environment Minister, about Sydney World Pride, which is actually in her electorate. But also, in the last week or so, she withheld permission for a new coal mine from Clive Palmer's company.
Because, of course, she's the Minister for Environment.
And Minister for Environment. And, you know, it's about runoff from there. It's literally quite close to the Barrier Reef and the damage it would have done. Of course, you know, Clive doesn't agree, but that's all right. Then Lord Mayor Sally Capp is joining us in the studio. And then we've got Stella from the Queer Sporting Alliance. What's Stella going to talk to us about?
Well, Stella's going to talk to us about World Pride 2 and a queer round and a showcase event that's going to happen at Queer Pride, and also what's happening with the Queer Sporting Alliance, which is an inclusive, a trans and LGBTIQM plus inclusive round.
Yeah.
Because most people understand that sport is gender segregated. So what does that mean for... what does that mean for transgender diverse people? And the Queer Sporting Alliance has some answers about that. And so it'd be great to talk about that.
I encourage people to think about sport rather than gender. Sport has competitors. How about we just have competitors? Like, you know, how difficult is that? Anyway, you are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9, with Macca and Joe Ball. Coming up, we're going to speak with Jill Stark, and we've got a new member Look at that. Barney from Collingwood. Thank you, Barney. Good on you. Come and say hello to Joy at Pride tomorrow. I think Joy's on the corner of Smith and Gertrude Streets. And, of course, we might speak about the tram ride that's going to happen. There's a tram ride tomorrow.
This is a surprise to me.
The Pride tram is leaving from out the front at 11. I expect there'll be this huge crush of people to get on it, probably to see Macca riding public transport. So
take photos. Proof.
Take photos.
It has happened once.
No one will ever believe it. Anyway, you are on Saturday Magazine, Macca and Joe.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.